This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 10th of October, 1951. The title of this lecture is Axioms 14 to 32. This lecture is 77 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. Pair of glasses. Were you audited today? How long? You're audited 2 hours? Who is your auditor? Get the goon squad, Jack. Who is your auditor? There's another pair. Horrors. Well, another one. Now, please attend to that for the next lecture, because it hurts me. It hurts me to see this. After all, if they're here on Friday night's lecture, I'm going to have to process those people who are still wearing glasses at that time, and that's not pleasant, because I'll only be able to process them a couple of times, and there's only one process that I'm doing now, and that's to run the pre-clear back to the first moment of existence and clean that up, and then let him walk around for a week or so running off all of the successive stuff himself. So I advise you to get rid of those glasses. Now, tonight I want to take up, in the first part of the lecture, a number of these axioms. And in the second part, I'm going to give you the theory of epicenters, or the epicenter theory. This is a very wonderful proposition, this epicenters. You may have heard something about it already. But hold your hats, because it's very interesting. It's something that is borne out, evidently, physiologically, right down the groove. Well, let's see. Where did we get to here on this? 14. I'd like to say something more about Axiom 14. Theta, working upon physical universe motion, must maintain an harmonious rate of motion. There is much more to this than appears on the surface. You have this sort of a situation. You have a cause without motion influencing and interplaying in motion. Therefore, it works out that theta has only this type of function to start or stop these influences on motion. It starts or stops motion. And your primary, most basic tenet that you can get at the moment in processing is just that. When a person comes into a field of belief without understanding, for instance, he is in a static. Now, a static has been stopped. One has to be stopped to be in a static state. There's only one way to stop somebody, really, actually, and that's kill them. Net result, you get all the moments when the organism supposed itself to be approaching death or was in death or something of the sort. And belief is just being stopped. Being wrong is the same thing. Effort calculation simply sums up into that. When the calculation of effort is in error, you get a tendency toward a stop. You walk up to a door, you try to open the door, and you calculate that you're going to have to use 150 dynes of energy in order to open this door. You put out your hand on the doorknob, and it sticks. Stops. Or you calculate that you're going to have to put out 10 dynes, and actually you only needed one dyne, and you throw this door open, you fall flat on your face, and you stop. Same thing. Did you ever reach the bottom of a flight of steps and try to take another step? Well, you sort of feel stopped. And did you ever reach the next to the last step. Once more, you feel stopped. Now, all life entities are involved in initiating survival actions and inhibiting non-survival motions. Therefore, they are also involved in inhibiting on an expanding periphery of non-survival motions. When an organism really feels in good shape, doing everything it should do and so on, it goes out on this expanding periphery of stopping non-survival motions, at the same time goes out on a periphery expanding of starting survival motions. It does those two things. It stops counter efforts which it can't use, and it uses and starts counter efforts which it can use. It, in other words, handles these on this periphery so that it goes out along the line of the dynamics. The individual starts operating evidently on the theory that he's got the whole universe to start or stop. And something comes along, kindergarten teacher, something says, you won't be able to stop the moon, or something of the sort, and this is borne home to the individual, and then the next thing you know, he's down to a point where he's having a hard time starting and stopping his parents, more intimate environment, his own playmates. And every time he's a causative point operating out of himself toward the environment. So every time he miscalculates, he's wrong. In other words, in his calculation, he will start a non-survival motion of some sort or invite a counter-effort to non-survival, and he will fail to start a survival motion. He'll fail on those two points. So that it keeps marching back to himself, and finally when he gets back to himself, he's had trouble holding, handling, changing his environment, starting and stopping, that's all, in the environment around him. And eventually he's tried so hard to start and stop the environment that he starts stopping and starting himself in his own body, because his own body, for your purposes, is merely his environment. It's part of the environment of his own self-determinism. And he will try so hard to stop something at a distance that he can stop himself. This goes, by the way, to the complete reductio ad absurdum. As you investigate the phenomena of death as it is approached in the middle of an operation, or death as it is approached in past deaths, whether you buy those or not, if you haven't run one yet, you'll find out that the individual says, he quits. He stops time right there. Hands out a new postulate. Thinks, well, I'm not here. He stops the organism. You can see a person doing that in the middle of an operation. You'll find points in the middle of an operation where he's trying to start a motion to get the organism out of there and to stop the motion of the counter effort. And your engram restimulation into the form of psychosomatic illness and aberration is simply the organism holding with it efforts which it's still trying to stop, which it failed to stop. So you have starts and stops. Now, if you want to get all the times that a person believed something or was forced to believe something, let's just get times when he was stopped, and you'll get the same thing. Or you can clean up a man's whole environment with great ease simply by picking up those people who have had a tendency to stop him in the environment. You'll find those people are at 1-5, 1-1 on the band, those people in the environment. A gunshot of getting these people out of there is just to knock out all the ARC he has in the whole bank. This makes his new understanding fluid. It stops and picks up all this anchored data, because part of his data in the understanding is simply ARC with other living organisms. So as a result, we have as our central operational mechanism just moments when the pre-clear was stopped when he was balked from starting something, when he failed to change a motion, so on. Just these combinations. And it just works out to the basis you say, all right, now let's get your effort in this engram to stop it. Meow. You're walking right straight through into the next moment of pain because he's been sitting, you see, right there, holding and refusing to record that next instant of pain. And you pull up the stop at that point, and the engram will slide right on through. What nervousness is. I'll go into a lot, I imagine, if you collected together the books on the subject of nervousness, worry. Do you have BO and all this sort of thing? You probably have a nice stack of books. Just the leading ones would probably be a stack about that high. We can take all these books and throw them away because there's only one thing that's happening is the fellow is right then in present time under the delusion that he is stopping a contra-survival motion or that he is unable to start a pro-survival motion. Just those two things, that's all. So when you start processing pre-clear, you'll find out that his failure to keep the organism running will result in his postulating his being elsewhere. If you really want to turn on reality with an individual and turn it on high, just start knocking out some of these stops. Just knock them out on straight wire. Because it's an interesting thing that ARC requires motion to be in existence. A causative point, a static, requires motionlessness to be in existence. So you have your individual fluctuating between motion and no motion. And what you're doing in processing is trying to get him rehabilitated into being able to carry forward an optimum motion. That optimum motion has such much higher a velocity, actually, than we conceive it to have today, that, well, just watch some of your pre-clears when you start to swamp up all these stops out of them. They start to move faster in many, many ways. Now, you can also put that down, that the effort to stop things starts on the very furthest outside perimeter. I found in one pre-clear a little bit of grief charge. Just a little kid, he's standing there looking at the stars, and all of a sudden he realized he couldn't do anything about them. They were completely beyond his effort and control, and he felt tinier and tinier and tinier and more insignificant. And we picked up this moment, and he'd sort of gone into apathy right there. He couldn't stop or start the stars. Now, it goes right on down the line. If you have somebody who has been living in the vicinity of people like sergeants who cannot be started or stopped, you have an individual going into a bit of apathy. There is why military service is aberrative, is because one is unable to start and stop so many organisms in his vicinity. The whole thing gets up there with this insane velocity of it's all got to be this way because it's always been this way, and we're not asking you anything about it. You're just messed, bud, and you're going to be eaten. So off they go. Now, therefore, any miscalculation of effort brings about a halt in some degree. Any miscalculation of effort. And being wrong is being stopped. Therefore, people cannot be wrong. It isn't that people have an innate wish to be right. It's simply the fact that they can't be stopped. If they stop completely, they're dead. And here you have the gradient scale of wrongness, which ends in death. And you look at the gradient scale over there, and it goes over to wrong. Therefore, the wrong side of the ledger means stopped. You actually have an infinity going in a circle on this, because you're trying to meet up with a moment when an optimum velocity is reached. And we'll get into this, an optimum velocity. You can get a faster velocity than that, which again brings about a stop. Now, You should keep that very definitely in mind. As a matter of fact, in processing, there is no more important point, actually, than this theorem. You want to mark it with about 5 stars. Because this is right where you're operating. As long as you do this with a preclear, you're really going to produce some results with it. A side comment on this, there's been some talk about ARC. The only thing wrong with ARC, as far as ARC with Homo sapiens is concerned, and that it is too low, having too many statics in it. Homo sapiens has been for too long too wrong. Therefore, it isn't that you want to cut off relations with the human race. You just like a guy to be able to get into his own self-determined relationship with these people. Let him make up his mind. So your preclear starts walking down the street with his lip hung up over his left ear. As far as people are concerned, that's all right. Is he healthy, effective, efficient? Is he living the kind of a life which he ought to be living? You'll find out he's of more benefit to mankind. So it works itself right back around again. To free an individual from ARC with individuals too low on the scale permits the individual to attain then a higher level of ARC. See how this is? You're giving him more motion simply by freeing him from individuals who are too full of statics. I think Homo sapiens has been pretty full of static. It is actually a necessary step in cleaning up statics, just as it is a necessary step in cleaning up a person's education. If you want an individual to get into really good shape, don't just worry about the physiological aspects of starting and stopping. You get these as they applied to his education, too, because people are educated in a static state from an authoritarian point of view, and it has a tendency to bring them down in terms of motion. An engineer who has had to be motionless for about 18 years while he got his education goes out then and tries to handle motion, and he sits at a desk and fiddles with his pencil, and we get an atomic engineering project. I mean, we get all sorts of odd things in the society which are practically stopped when they ought to be really going at a high velocity. So you want to get out any factor, you can put this down as a broad shot on the matter, any factor in the society which tends to slow down an individual slows down as well his ARC and keys in as well the real physical statics on the case. It does both. See, an effort to believe is an effort to be motionless. In addition to that, a discovery of being that one is wrong also adds up into an effort of being motionless. You get a person who is wrong too often, and he will stop. He will not initiate action. This is the curse of the examination. In educational systems, one of the handiest and most terrible mechanisms of control which was ever invented was the examination, which at once invalidates the student and says, look, you didn't know this. We're going to have to find out if you know it. In other words, you're still our mess. And if you don't put it down right on the paper, then you're wrong. You go around a university and you start checking over students, and you'll find most of them are highly nervous. And it's nothing for students to pick up an enormous number of psychosomatic illnesses around examination time. It's very, very interesting. Of course, the university's not much interested in what it turns out. I take that back. That's a snide statement. I shouldn't make such a statement, no matter how true it is. What's important, the university's football teams, of course. Now, any interplay which tends to result then in stoppedness or in too high a velocity each one aberrates the individual. You just start analyzing the aberration of individuals from this point of view as an auditor, and you will know more in less time about your pre-clear than you've ever known before. What part of his body is he trying to move too fast in relationship to the rest of his body, and what part of his body is stopped in relationship to the rest of his body? And you'll pick up in those two places. One, the one he's trying to move, has a counter effort against it, which is trying to speed it up too fast, and he's trying to stop this counter effort. And the other one has a counter effort which is so heavily against him that he can't move it. So he is stopped by trying to move this counter effort. In one, he's trying to stop a counter effort, the other is trying to move a counter effort. You can just observe a pre-clear. You can talk to some individual, you'll find he's stopped on certain subjects. Take almost any field of learning which is authoritarianly taught, and you will be talking to an individual who is stopped. A completely stopped individual is either dead or insane, since by re-stimulation, the facsimile of being stopped can be stimulated, re-stimulated in him, while at the same time his heart continues to beat and his blood continues to flow through his veins. But he's stopped, he's dead. So that you have various random efforts at thinking going on. This person's insane. Your task is to start him again. There are two methods of starting him, of course. One is to do it on a command basis. But a command basis is to stop him. And the other is to do it with ARC, which has in it motion. And you impart to this individual who is stopped the motion and interplay of ARC. And so he'll start to shake out some of this psychosis and all of a sudden start to come to life again. You don't believe that the insane or dead sniff some sometimes. That's right. They carry the odor of death about them. All right, axiom 15. Lambda is the intermediate step in the conquest of the physical universe. Quite an obvious axiom. Here you have a causative point, and it is traveling through something which is in motion, which is a living organism, in order to affect this conflict. Axiom 16 is the basic food of any organism consists of light and chemicals. If you were looking at somebody just on diagnosis, it's very interesting that he's all upset on the subject of what hours he should sleep. The reason sleep comes about, your basic units are monocells. They feed on sunlight and minerals. When the sun is up, they're alive. They're in good shape. And when it's dark, they don't eat. Therefore, dark is terrible for most organisms, is unknown, and so on. Then you get organisms that will use this factor in order to survive themselves, such as owls, night courts, almost anything. They'll reverse themselves so they can survive. And they prey upon other organisms' inability to keep going or do right at night. You get this sort of an incidence. And it's interesting that human beings die most frequently at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, this is when the chronometer in the body says, well, we're all out of fuel, boys. All you've got to shoot him is a little vitamin D and some protein. He snaps out of that. People don't have to die at that time in the morning. They just aren't fed. It's a fact. You get a monitor system running on the thing. Of course, people have lots of facsimiles of being dead at 2 o'clock in the morning, too. Their first facsimile says that if the amoeba or whatever you've got there is going to die, it'll die when it's dark. Or when it's too light. Same thing. It's interesting that you can extrapolate then the food of an organism down from the highest, most complex levels, straight on down to the bottom level. We have an evolution which has been overlooked, which is progressing right along in present time, right with us. Higher organisms are feeding on lower organisms. The only reason that we as human beings can survive is because we are being supported by lower forms which are converting energy into a refined level from lower forms, which is converting energy from lower forms. You finally get down to what's going on right this minute. Our food is being manufactured for us. It's going to be processed through a lot of organisms from sunlight and minerals right this minute. Theta via lambda affects an evolution in MEST. This is mostly just a comment of some interest, but not entirely. You'll find out that the cities on the face of the earth, ruined cities, ancient forests long since buried under lava beds, things are all changed MEST. If you want to go out in any graveyard and dig it up, you'll find out that there's a lot of MEST that's been changed. And actually, the physical universe is undergoing an evolution. Someday, perchance, who knows, the physical universe will be almost entirely converted. Who knows? Not if the boys keep playing around with atomics. Axiom 18. Lambda, even within a species, varies in its endowment of theta. You'll find this in examination of preclears. One way or the other, you find out that there seems to be a different energy potential which is inherent in the individual. You'll find an individual, for instance, who hasn't enough horsepower to stop himself even in a severe operation. He won't even postulate stopping himself. He just keeps on going. It's interesting how this comes about. You find, and they're pretty limp. They're not much use to anybody either. Therefore, you get an organism with a high level of endowment, come up to present time, and this endowment level will try to stop itself even at fancied efforts to act against it, and the fellow will eventually just start shutting down and everything will start shutting off, and he becomes very occluded. Now, there's a third condition which happens, is you take a high endowment of theta, get stuck in some operation or some moment of high stress, stops it, and postulates that he's got a time track and that he's running on it. And you give this individual something to read and then recall, and he'll recall some fragment of it. He won't be able to read the whole thing. He's running on a not necessarily illusory track, but certainly it's a dub-in track. And a lot of auditors have a lot of fun running wide-open cases which are actually skidding along merely a postulated time track. Now, there's much more to this subject. There's a lot more data inside it, but if you'll take that as working data, you'll find out that you can understand some of these so-called wide-open cases that appear to be nuttier than fruitcakes. This person obviously has not stopped any place. Oh, yeah? Let's go back and get the postulate of when I'm not here and I'm going to keep on going regardless. And a person will have a time track and have an awful lot of theta wrapped up. And he will be the first, most surprised person in the world when he suddenly sees his time track filling out, changing and expanding and altering rather markedly and considerably. Because obviously it was a time track. You get an occluded case and start it going, however, it doesn't run on a postulated time track. It runs on an actual one. Of course, the postulated time track is just running parallel on an actual time track. Time track's actual. It doesn't collapse or anything like that, but an individual thinks it does. The effort of lambda is towards survival. The goal of lambda is survival. The penalty or failure to advance toward that goal is to succumb. In definition, persistence is the ability to exert continuance of effort toward survival goals. If an individual is lacking in persistence, he will also be lacking in responsibility and other things, and you will find that he has stopped somewhere. He stopped very thoroughly, and you start getting an individual moving again, and his level of persistence will come up even in a low endowment individual. Axiom 20, lambda creates, conserves, maintains, acquires, destroys, changes, occupies, groups, and disperses MEST. Better mark that with about 4 stars. It's very important. Out of that axiom, you can derive MEST processing. You can resolve an individual's skittishness about the physical universe. Here's an individual, he's postulated all sorts of things about the physical universe. He's had various unfortunate experiences with such things as cats, kings, and coal heavers, and he decides that it's dangerous, but it's not dangerous, so I better not have it, so I've got to have it, and he gets into a state of anxiety concerning this. This all extrapolates out of the basic axiom of motion, but it's a little closer to the core of the thing when you realize that the handling of motion and the handling of an organism is the same thing, because the organism is a motion, with the difference that that organism has a static in it, as sometimes parents discover in trying to train children. Children will step back against this static and can't be budged out of a certain activity. So you can take that formula, it's really a formula, and you can just write down all of the items and objects and spaces and times you can think of, and then take the individual and the individual's group and the individual as part of his family and all the dynamics, and start playing him against this. And when you've got through, you've got self-analysis questions. That's the basic formula on self-analysis. Now, you can make up a deck of cards that work this way, by the way. On your deck of cards, you just put down these various action verbs, and then you put down various objects, and over here in the third pile, you put down various entities, such as the individual and his family, the individual and the group, so on. And just deal the three out. Here are objects and actions in one pile, and here's the action verb in this pile, and then the subject in this pile, and you can read them out. You can read out your questions, one right after the other. Lambda is dependent upon optimum motion, motion which is too swift, and motion which is too slow, are alike contra survival. You know, you take your tone scale, turn your tone scale on edge, and it doesn't look quite like you think it looks. Here's your tone scale, which you know very well. You've been looking on flat on all the time. Here's 0, 40. Now, your tone scale apparently goes up along the line, and apparently an individual slows down as he comes down the tone scale. Going too fast or too slow puts him at the same position on the tone scale. Because you turn that tone scale on edge, and you find it looks like this. Here's 0, 0. That's exaggerated, that space in there, by the way. And here you have a person dead, and then pretended death, apathy, grief, so on, up to 2, then straight on up here until you get into 4, the band of 4. But if this individual is being forced too hard into too much motion, he's shaking himself to pieces, and he is halted just the same. Now, you can see that too much motion and too little motion are alike susceptible of producing no motion. It's very simple. Here, let's take a vector. Vectors like that. That is toward survive. That's up there at 40. It's a good long arrow at 40. Now we start breaking it down, and we get down around 2, and we've got 2 arrows of the same length confronting each other. This fellow's antagonistic. He doesn't know quite which way to go, but as you come down the line, you see this arrow nearly got shorter and shorter, and a few more random efforts start impinging on it. So you got down here around anger and your forces. This one's going this direction, this is going this direction, this is going this direction, this is going this direction. You're breaking down the same force vector, same length, but you're splitting up the arrows. And gradually, when you get down here to 0, all those force vectors have resolved to a point. They're 1 point long. A point has no length. You get 0. You see, the vectors become more and more into conflict. Now, this is the vector to survive opposed by the vector to succumb. The force to survive, the will to survive, is being opposed by the will to succumb. And then a fellow is just around. He doesn't know which way he's going. He doesn't know what he's doing. His goals are all upset. He gets into this situation, and finally that breaks on down to get to a point. Or you can simply start taking off the length of the vector. You just start taking the length of the vector off. And over here, the vector gets shorter and shorter and shorter, so there's less and less vector, and all of a sudden there's no vector, which means no motion, no force applied. Or over on this side, so much random motion that, again, you have no motion. The individual reacts the same way, whether he's on this side of the tone scale or this side of the tone scale. He's evidently manifesting more or less the same. With this exception, an individual on the fast side of the tone scale, below 2, generally talks too much. And the individual on the slow side of the tone scale, below 2, won't talk. So you get overaction on this side and underaction on this side. You see that? But that overaction is really over. I mean, it's terrifically over.
This lecture is continued on the next disc.